B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I should say, too, that, you know, a lot of people have pointed to the financial component of this. And Damian, I know, is coming on. He can speak to this. I mean, the incremental difference between, at this point, playing and not playing isn't nearly as great as people think, especially given the enormous expense in putting this on. Really, it's more a sense from the entire NBA community that we have an obligation to try this, because the alternative is to stay on the sidelines. And the alternative is to, in essence, give in to this virus. And while on one hand, this won't be forever, and we will ultimately find a vaccine, presumably, or some sort of, you know, antivirals that will help deal with the people who have the conditions of COVID-19, that for us, you know, we feel this is what we do. You know, we put on NBA basketball. We think that for the country, it'll be a respite from enormous difficulties people are dealing with in their lives right now. And I also think in terms of social justice issues, it'll be an opportunity for NBA players in the greater community to draw attention to these issues, because the world's attention will be on the NBA in Orlando, Florida, if we're able to pull this off.
So again, there's Adam Silver echoing that last point, that you go down there and then use it. You leverage it to get the message out. If you don't go down there, you don't have the platform, you're not heard as much. So there's that point as well. But the little kernel there that I liked that he said is that this is what we do. We put on NBA basketball. This is our job. And in these times, you do everything you can to open up your business and get back to work. And like, just from a very functional point A to point B basis, like, I like that tone. When he starts getting into, you know, incrementally, there's not that much money, and you know, the nation will be uplifted. I part of me wants to say, well, keep that, you know, put a sock in that. You know, you're probably making more money than you're portraying. Owners usually are, and usually do. And the save the world thing, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think it can serve as a distraction, but like, you don't need to go there. Like, it's your business. It's what you do. And that's okay. That's okay. This is what you've devoted your life to, and your craft to, and your career to. And it's hugely important to you and your family and how you support your family. And it's okay. It's okay to prioritize your work. Again, I keep, you know, I don't mean to get all sanctimonious, but I think it's a virtue. And I mean, that's all to me. That's all he has to say. This is what we do. This is our job. And if we can do it, we should do it. Period. And that's something that I sort of attach to him as.
So again, you know, you and I don't think are coming at it from all that different standpoints. You're in the case of Kyrie, his identity is pretty clear. He was born with a gift to play basketball, and that doesn't mean he didn't work at it as he got. But this is his vehicle for connecting to the rest of the world. Don't forget that. And like, that's the part that blows me away with Kyrie. Don't forget that it's basketball first. Everything else spins off of that.
Well, and it kind of bugs me that, you know, these, and it feels like it's more in the NBA than other sports. But, you know, I'm more than just a ball player, man. I'm more than just a basketball player, but this exists in other, I feel like rock stars do the same thing. Music artists do the same thing. I'm more than just a guitar player. I speak for this, that, and the other. Movie stars, you know, good God, you can't get through the Oscars without all that being preached to. And the, you know, I'm more than just an actor. It's like, part of me says, what's wrong with just being an actor?
Right.
Or just being a guitar player, or just being a basketball player and being one of the best in the world at it. Like, I mean, again, I go to rock shows back when we used to do it, Pearl Jam, and Eddie goes on these political, they're like, shut up, dude. Like, just play the next song, for God, you know, but I'm more than just a rock star. Well, why do you have to be? I mean, it's great that you believe in those things, and I hope they're the right things and all of that, but what, there's no virtue in just being one of the best at doing what you do and being able to support your family at a high level because of it? Like, that's a great thing. Like, why are some people, like, bored by that? Like, that's not enough for him just to be a great basketball player or a great guitar player or a great actor or actress. It's just that, no, I'm more than this. I'm more than this. Like, all right, go ahead. What are you?
You know? I'm telling you, on some level with the case of Kyrie, I do think it has something to do with, like, him not wanting the responsibility that comes with being a great player or something. I just think it's weird. Like, usually those guys that are that gifted, often, not usually, but often, they are committed or driven to being the best. Like, and in this case, it's almost like, no, don't put me in that hole. I got other things going on. It's like, well, then you should be working harder at basketball, because what you have there is a gift. It's a gift. It's what makes you special. The rest of the stuff doesn't make you special. The basketball makes you special. So use the basketball however you can use it. I just think Kyrie's missing the boat. I do. I think he's completely missing the boat. And as usual, he's making it about him.
Okay. And again, I just thought that the statement that his coalition put out yesterday was egregious and over the top and not fair. So back to your phones on everything. Again, Christian Arcan in for Big Jim Murray today from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Jonathan in Hyde Park on Kyrie. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Kyrie is wrong. I feel like the players should be able to play the games and discuss social issues after the games or before them. The players in the bubble, they can discuss issues together on how to create organizations designed to get back to the inner cities, like how LeBron's I Promise School is. And my last thing is, if sports can distract you from social injustice issues, then you never truly cared about making a change about the issues in the first place. And screw baseball.
Yeah, most importantly, you buried the lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got Tom and Quincy on MLB. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, since we've been talking about how baseball is never going to play again for the past few weeks, that comment by Manfred last night came so – it went right through me with the whole, you know, our owners just want to get the plays to get on the field. That's not true. That's simply not true. And the Tony Clark comments aren't true. The only comment that's been true, which I hate to even say it, are the guys that were bitching about wanting all their money. Because in the end, that's what the guys want. They want all their money. They're not that concerned about playing. And if they're going to play, they want all their money. And the owners want the least amount of games so they don't have to give them all the money. It's a common tone between the both, and they can't sit down and figure that out. All right? And then all we've heard is that, well, the players that come out and spoke are the most obnoxious players in the league. They finally get Mike Trout to come out and say something, right? And he comes out and says, okay, when and where, right? So now him saying when and where, being the most so-called, in air quotes, popular player, right? If he now says that and Manfred releases the 50-game schedule and the first thing the players do is file a grievance, say they're not going to play, that puts Trout now in the bullseye of everyone else to go, well, he's the most influential player in the league, and he's not even going to show up and play.
Exactly. Let me stop you there. Call the players bluff, Maz, whether it's a bluff or not. Fine. Here we go. Training camp in spring training in 3 weeks. Opening day, July 20th. We'll see you there. And if the players sue, then they look like the a-holes.
Yeah, I just think that the player's suit, the grievance, the lawsuit, is all based on the fact that the owners did not commit to playing the most games possible. That's going to exist whether they play 50 games or zero. If Manfred cancels the season, then the players are going to file a grievance saying, we could have played, this guy didn't want to do it, and so now they owe us. MLB is going to get sued either way. So if I'm Manfred, I say, put your foot down, make the call. Make the call. Dare the players to show up or not show up. Dare them. Make the call. Make the decision and then live with it. I just think it's reached as I felt this way a week ago. It's time for Manfred to just set the schedule. Here you go. This is what we're doing. And then whatever happens from there, let the players decide next. The owners decide, nope, we're playing 48 games. Here's what we're going to do. You gave us the power to do it. We're going to do it. Bang. You know, make the announcement. Use the power. Then whatever the players want to do, that's on them.
Fred in Cranston on Kaepernick. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, guys. I'd just like to weigh in. Mike, you were saying earlier about Kaepernick's beliefs may have cost him his career, but Pat Tillman's beliefs definitely cost him his life. And as far as baseball, speed in baseball is concerned, if I may say, give it back to the umpires. Put them back in control of the game. Put them back into moving the players back and forth, in and out of the dugouts, guys. Let's get on the hop like back in Little League.
Okay, does it come down to the umpires, Maz?
No. Look, I mean, again, the umpires are a pain in the ass, we all know. But if the game moves fast, we're still going to hate the umpires. Like, we're going to hate the umpires no matter what. for crying out loud. Now, forgive me if I missed something else that he said about the umps, because when he said Pat Tillman, I was just like, I searched something on Pat Tillman because I couldn't remember what branch of the military he was in. So if he was, is that what he said about the umps, that they're the problem?
Yes, but the Pat Tillman thing, I just sort of let go. Feels like a heavy-handed response, you know, again, like a overreaction on the other side, which
again,
is just a waste of all of
our time. And it's not about the flag.
Exactly. But again, that's why we avoid the topic, Christian, because it brings out that. But the, you can give the power to the umpires, but I don't trust that union and that group, any more than I trust the players, by the way. They got all roughly the same problems. You got to put a clock out there. It's got to come down from the top through the entire game. And, that's what has to happen to the game. Kevin out at UMass on Kyrie. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, so this is more has to do with LeBron when he wants to opine on politics and all that. Like, dude, I have a black friend. I might as well listen to him over anything you say. You haven't worked a day in your life. You've gotten everything since you were freaking 10 years old. The whole AAU crap.
I don't, like, Kevin, I don't think you're right about that, though. I still think he faces things that we don't face as white Americans, whether he's rich, poor, or wherever he comes from. I reject that. I'm not challenging his credentials there. Like, no, he's got the right to speak as an African American dealing with his own challenges. I just think it's unfair. After all Silver has done for the players, and I don't mean all that he's done, but, you know, how I think how amenable he is to the players and how supportive he is of the players. And never mind his own union, who crafted this agreement. Chris Paul was right there at the table every step of the way. For them, him then to turn around at the last minute and equate it to, again, sort of lump it in with slavery and oppression and, you know, not being told on the health and safety facets of it, and, you know, is the financial thing even right? Like, I just think it was grossly unfair by Kyrie.
Mike, what was the way that thing began again?
Oh, my God. I mean, as the
Native Indigenous.
The first line. The first line. Like, there's got to be people over there at the Celtics like, ay, 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 here we go. Native Indigenous African Caribbean men and women. Like, there's only one guy who talks like that.
So just out of curiosity, what if you're like from the South Pacific? So does that not count?
Meaning not Caribbean?
Do you not matter? Yeah. Like, it's one of those, like, in the attempt to show us how smart he is, he showed us how stupid he is.
And the scary part is of the amount of players that agree with them. We continue with your thoughts right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The coalition of NBA players that includes Kyrie Irving and Avery Bradley pursuing further examination of the NBA's restart plan. In a statement, they said, as an oppressed community, we're going on 500 plus years of being systematically targeted, used for our intellectual property and talent, and also still being killed by the very people that are supposed to protect and serve us. We've had enough. We are combating the issues that matter most. We will not accept the racial injustice that continue to be ignored in our communities. We will not be kept in the dark when it comes to our health and well-being. And we will not ignore the financial motivations and expectations that have prevented us historically from making sound decisions. How many people do you get the sense that he's kind of vouching for here?
I think he's speaking for more people than we thought, maybe even a few days ago, Scott. And I think some of those people have spoken up, but there is another undercurrent of player in the league, and they're not just, you know, lower-level young players or journeyman players. I think there's another tier of player that is very in tune with what Kyrie Irving, Avery Bradley, what they're talking about. Scott, there's not great enthusiasm among players in this league about going into the bubble, about all the things that are going to come with it, especially on the teams who are not competing for a championship. And it is certainly a sense you get in talking to players, good players in the league, more, I would say, here in the last week. And I do think, on some level, Kyrie has tapped into some of that. And it's on a multitude of issues, Scott.
So I found that disappointing, too. But there's not great enthusiasm to pick up the NBA season. And there's another Woj cut, Jimmy. Why don't we play it here? Number two, about, you know, what some of the concerns are, and a little more specific. He said, you know, there's not a lot of enthusiasm to do it, and for a multitude of reasons. I think Woj goes into some of those reasons.
I think for a lot of people, Scott, this feels like, outside of the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks, they fear it's going to feel a little bit like a glorified summer league, that it isn't. It doesn't feel like the continuation of the season. It feels like the start of something new. And I think that's hitting people now. What would really damage it ultimately, what would damage the credibility of the format, the tournament, is if enough guys just break off and say, I'm not going to go. Even if that's two guys a team, hypothetically, the question's going to be, Scott, how many guys just say, I'm worried about getting injured. I don't want to hurt my free agent status. I don't want to cost myself money in the long run. There's so many issues. And they're starting to bubble to the surface here. But, the league is trying to get through this week, get guys galvanized, and then start getting them to training camp. But it's there's no sprinting through the tape here. They're kind of stumbling to the finish line on this process.
Okay, so on the one hand, I'd say at least those concerns are, I think they're closer to the bone than what Kyrie Irving is doing. You know, Kyrie Irving is going back 500 years, a native indigenous, and, our health and our safety and the finances, which, again, is throwing his own players union under the bus that negotiated this deal. So I'm not buying what Kyrie's selling. This, at least, I can buy. Players look at it and say, well, you don't have a chance. Like, I go down there for 2 months, and is it really worth it? I've been paid 80% of my salary. And some guys are saying, I'm up for a contract in the offseason. I'm a free agent. Never mind COVID. I'm more susceptible to other injuries because we haven't played in 3 months. And is it really worth it? Like, those things I get. But even for those guys, I would say, you know, I'm disappointed if you felt that way. If outside of the Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks, everyone else felt like it was the summer league. And, I mentioned this before. I feel like it... I'd like to think these players are so competitive and so dedicated to their craft and the things they've devoted their life to doing. And again, so competitive that they look at it and go, there's not just three teams this year. Any one of six or eight teams can win it because there's no travel. There's no home court. This is wide open. This is a chance to go win an NBA title. If you're a member of the Celtics, if you're a member of the Sixers, the Nuggets, a team like this, the Jazz, ordinarily you would say, man, there's no way they're going to win three road series and they're just outside that championship grouping. And so they're going to play out the string in the playoffs. But now without having to go to Toronto for game seven, without having to go to Milwaukee for game seven, without having to travel to LA in an NBA final, the door is wide open for the Celtics. I would hate to think that their players are saying this is going to feel like the summer league. I want their players to say, we've just been gifted a real chance at the NBA title. And I'd want the Sixers to feel the same way and the Nuggets to feel the same way and the Jazz and whoever Houston with two MVPs in their backcourt, like whoever you consider on that championship bubble, I'd like to think those players are looking at just the opposite way. So I'm disappointed to hear that from Adrian Wojnarowski.
Are you surprised?
A little bit. Yes, I am.
I'm not totally surprised.
Yeah.
But not for the reasons you're talking about. I think this... You know, this whole pandemic and COVID has scared people and has shaken them. And maybe a lot of people have recovered already. But I think reentry is hard. And so, I think there's some of that going on. But look, to your point, Mike Wick-Grausbeck himself said, this helps us. you know, this whole format, the idea that we're going to play in a bubble improves our chances of winning. He said that. And so I you'd like to think that all the teams would have some understanding that there is an opportunity there. Now, look, some of them have no shot, even in the on the, you know, neutral sites and without home court and all that stuff. But there are a handful that it should create a better opportunity for.
Would you say more teams have a chance to win it now that there's not travel and home court?
Yes.
Of course. I just, by the very nature of it, I would like to think that that's the case. Or I would like to think that that's how the players are approaching it. And I would want them chomping at the bit. Of course it's a sacrifice. Of course it's going to be tougher. And of course. But it's like, it's what you've devoted your life to and worked your ass off for. I think all these guys are incredibly dedicated and incredibly hardworking to get to that level. You have to be. And now here's your payoff. Here's a chance for a title. And you're going to be, this is going to feel like the summer league. I don't really want to. So like that's disappointing, but at least I can wrap my head around that. At least I can wrap my head around that. And, you know, versus the stuff that Kyrie Irving was peddling. Jay and Lawrence on that. Go ahead, Jay. You're on the air next. Go.
Yes. Hey, Mike, do you think if Kyrie and Durant were playing this year, right? And they were up 5 games and they could go against LeBron against the championship. Do you think he'd be saying this stuff?
I think, Jay, it's a fair thing to bring up. If they were the 2 seed versus the 7 and they were both healthy and firing on all cylinders, would we be hearing about Native Indigenous Caribbean men? And, you know, I don't think so.
I doubt it. I mean, look, it's easy to do it right now. It's a hell of a lot harder to do it when you have a championship at stake. And, you know, now again, if it means that much to Kyrie, then I'm wrong. But I think it's just an easy thing to say now when Durant's out, you're hurt, and they've told you you can't go to Orlando, so you don't feel like a part of it anyway. It's an easy thing to say now.
Yes, never mind the fact that he wanted to go to Orlando, according to several players, and was told he couldn't. And that's when he came up with this, when he started singing this tune. Paul in Somerville. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I'm wondering, at the beginning of the show, you had the opinion that you wanted the players to speak. A little while ago, I get the impression that you want them to shut up and dribble. So I'm wondering, do you want these players to be, after the games, do you want them to be talking politics? Because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of LeBron, but the one thing I am a fan of, he's willing to stand up and speak when none of the other big athletes, because Jordan taught them this, don't speak. Bray doesn't speak. Tiger never spoke. But LeBron, he's willing to speak. You got to give him credit for that.
I do.
So I'm wondering, I do too.
Yes.
Which
so
do you want?
All right, let me answer your question. It's a fair question. I want Eddie Vedder to shut up and dribble. I want Eddie Vedder to shut up and play the guitar. I do. The basketball players, the athletes, I don't. I wouldn't go that far. What we were talking about before is the guy that says, I'm more than just a rock star. I'm more than just a singer. I'm more than just an actor. I'm more than just a basketball player. That affects me up to a point. And I think there's a certain segment of, you know, really talented athletes and artists that feel they're somehow above what they're great at. You know, I'm more than just that. When I wish they would just embrace the fact that they're great at that, and that's okay. That's their greatest gift and their greatest skill, and that's what they are. But these guys have a right to say whatever they want, and I don't discourage it. But if they say something I disagree with, I'm allowed to say I disagree with it. So I'm not telling you Kyrie Irving did not have the right to put out that statement. I haven't said that once today. But if he's going to put that out and say this is how I feel, then I'm allowed to say this is how I feel.
Yeah, I have never once said during the part, during the show for Kyrie to shut up. I mean, I've called him stupid. I said last segment, I think. I mean, again, I can't remember what I said 60 seconds ago, let alone 10 minutes. But the, you know, Kyrie's entitled to say whatever he wants. I just think he's wrong. I think in this particular case, the platform is waiting for him in Orlando. Now, maybe not him specifically because he's not going to be down there. But for the players, the platform is there. The basketball is the vehicle. What are you doing? I just think it hurts the cause. It doesn't help it.
We continue with your thoughts. One more segment of your wonderful phone calls. Also want to weigh in on something that was released today down in Tampa Bay concerning an old friend of ours. We'll do that all after Christian Arcan's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mass.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
We work through all of those issues in terms of health and safety, what the environment will be like on the campus, but I can only say it may not be for everyone. I mean, it will entail enormous sacrifice on behalf of those players and for everyone involved, the coaches, the referees. Listen, it's not an ideal situation. We're trying to find a way to our own normal in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of essentially a recession or worse with 40 million unemployed, and now with enormous social unrest in the country. And so as we work through these issues, I can understand how some players may feel that it's not for them.
It's hard to have a more understanding or supportive commissioner than Adam Silver. And Kyrie Irving brings up 500 years of oppression and being kept in the dark when it comes to our health and well-being, and not ignoring the financial motivations that have prevented us from historically making sound decisions. And I just think that's unfair for that group especially. If he were railing against NFL owners and the NFL hierarchy, yeah, you've got more of a case for sure. The NBA is light years ahead of other leagues. So that's part of the reason why I think it's unfair. But there's Silver saying it's not for everybody, especially when you hear what Arcan just reported about what happens to these guys if they leave the bubble. Can you repeat that, Chris?
Yeah, Shams from The Athletic said that if you leave the Orlando campus without approval, prior approval, you'll be subject to 10 to 14 days of self-quarantine, reduction in compensation for the games that you missed, and enhanced testing in quotes there, a deep nasal swab.
Okay, cavity searches, the whole thing. You bend over, you know. Like, God. You know, I was sort of under the impression it was going to be a little bit more of a honor code thing. You know, you could leave, but you had to maintain social distancing. And if you could be in an environment where you maintain social distancing and maintain, you know, your close group around you, that you didn't expose yourself to other people or breathe other air, et cetera, that you'd be able to move freely with, you know, with testing. But, you know, it doesn't change my mind, but I didn't know it would be that restrictive, Maz.
Well, no, look, and Jared Dudley, I think it was, of the Lakers, said this a couple of weeks ago that, you know, some of the stuff that's out there is wrong. We're going to be allowed to leave, but if you get sick and you can't play, you're going to have to answer to your teammates. That's what Dudley sort of alluded to at that time. This is much more restrictive, and you know, it penalizes players a great deal more. So now look, the honor system and the responsibility and, you know, doing the right thing both for yourself and for your teammates. I mean, I like that idea. But again, the teams that don't have a lot to play for, you know, those guys, I think you got to put some restrictions in place for those guys.
But. So, I mean, it doesn't sound right. You can't leave the bubble or else, you know, cavity search. But where are you going? Like, if they have restaurants open for the, you know, the people in the bubble, the players and the families and the, you know, the NBA workers, and you have work, out to dinner, and home, you know, like, what, I mean, what else are you doing anyway? What else do you want to do? What, I mean, I don't, that's all I do. And I know I'm not a young NBA player, but it's like, dude, it's the playoffs. You're going for a championship. What do you want to do?
Yeah, but they don't want to be you.
but it's like, I mean, to which I would say, well, no, you can't go to the casino. Nope, no casinos. And I guess the strip clubs are out. And can you just get by without that for a couple months while you go for an NBA championship?
James Harden probably can't.
It's like,
I mean, I don't know. Can you, I'd argue you could probably social distance at a strip joint.
I mean,
I think that's doable.
I, on one hand, it sounds a little heavy handed, but on the other hand, I don't have all that much sympathy for you. I mean, you should just, it should be homework, family anyway. That's it. Homework, family, God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. That's it. That's it. Like, what, you know, what I'm not concerned about, you know, I'm not concerned about your fishing trip or your casino jaunt or the strip club or whatever it is you want to do there. Like, this is, we're here to work.
Well, so you mentioned this too, like, they probably want to golf. They probably want to do that stuff.
Well, no, golfing's fine. I think that's on the campus. I think that's understood. I told you, I know of Celtics players, or at least one, who's got really, overnight, gotten really concerned about his golf game because he knows he's going to Orlando and be playing a lot of golf. I think that's there. So you get to golf, I think. And I don't know. So, like, my sympathy there only goes so far. You're there to work in the first place. Mike in Somerville on Kyrie. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. Real quick, and I'll preface by saying I hate Kyrie, but playing devil's advocate here, we're kind of bashing him for just not accepting his role as a basketball player and wanting more out of that. But we did the same thing where we bashed Jordan for not stepping up and using his platform for social justice back in the 80s or 90s when that Senate race was going on in North Carolina. So I was curious how you guys see them differently.
Well, I mean, I do, and I'm not bashing Kyrie for expressing himself. And that if it comes across that way, I don't mean that. But I am allowed to challenge the content of what he said. If he comes out and says something, then, well, it's for public consumption, and then now we're allowed to discuss. And so that's what I'm doing. But in terms of, I think the previous caller, mentioned LeBron James versus Michael Jordan. I am far more supportive of LeBron James and how he's carried himself versus Jordan. I mean, Jordan wouldn't stand up against one of the most vile racists in Southern politics during his time. Jesse Helms, staunch segregationist and, racist. And Michael Jordan wouldn't even support the other guy in that, So I'll take LeBron James any day of the week over Michael Jordan. But if LeBron James is something I disagree with, I'm allowed to say that, too. That's the whole point.
Yeah. And with regard to Kyrie, I I've said this a million times today, I would argue that he's not using the platform in the best way that he should. So I would say, and I don't want to compare him to Jordan, but there is a platform there built in for him, and he's not using it. And this was Michael Wilbon's point on Pardon the Interruption. The mics, everything's waiting for you right there. Like, if you want to have an impact, that's where it can be.
I just think there's a massive, It just goes too far in the other direction that I find myself pushing back against. Our discussion last week, them going after Paw Patrol or the cop Legoland or the Berklee College of Music having to apologize because they let the cops use the bathroom. Like, these things are turning me off. And when Kyrie, instead of just stating legitimate concerns about going into that bubble for a couple months, he brings up 500 years of oppression and all this stuff that he, but it's like, that's just too much. It's just too much, and it turns me off. But I'm not like saying he shouldn't say it. That's his right, and I'm fine with him saying it. But I'm allowed to give my opinion to it then. Scott in the car has been waiting patiently. Scott, thanks for hanging on baseball. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, you got it, fat face. I have two simple solutions for baseball. The first solution is speed it the F up. And the second one is it needs to become launch angle proof. So the only way to do that is to deaden the baseball. And what people don't realize about the home run is, yeah, chicks dig the home run, but they dug the home run when it was a scarcity. Now it's not. It's just not a scarcity. There's too many effing home runs.
Right. So how do you – Scott, thanks for the call, even with the insult. Maz, how do you de-emphasize the home run?
So I'll tell you what, that's an interesting theory or an interesting strategy. Instead of jacking the ball, deaden it. So now the only guys who can hit home runs are the real home run hitters. Now the other guys have to play a different kind of game again. And, again, I don't know that baseball would ever come to that. And you'd have to do some sort of real study there. Here's the problem. Let's say you did it. How long would it take the analysts to catch up before guys started playing the game differently?
Right.
So we're talking, years, right? We're talking about years. Unless they came out and said ahead of time, here's what we're going to do. We're going to deaden the ball. And, we've run the numbers. And
I'm sorry, jumping because I just don't want to forget, lose this train of thought. That would have to be in conjunction with outlawing the shift. So you re-emphasize hitting the ball the other way. And I guess the shift maybe does emphasize hitting the other way. But either way, you just emphasize balls in play, okay? If you take away the shift, you encourage balls in play as opposed to just trying to hit it over the shift.
Absolutely.
And you deaden the baseball.
Yeah, so look, again, if they can tell us that, we do this to the ball and it carries an extra 10%, like they were telling us last year that there was less drag on the baseball and they're seeing a 10 or 15% increase in the distance of fly balls. Well, then why can't they deaden it 10 or 15% and know that they're going to lose 20% of the home runs?
Okay,
but the point is they know the math. They know the math. They know how much they have to tweak the ball to change the game. And maybe it's an interesting theory. To me, it's worth discussing.
Okay, before we go to the final word, I just want to spend 2 minutes on this because it's more of a visual, so on the radio, you're just going to have to work with us. If you haven't seen it, you'll see it when you get home. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did a photo shoot with our old buddy for the first time, fully donned in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pewter and red. What are their colors officially?
I don't know, something like that.
And of course, they've got like 14 different, you know, versions of the jerseys, and you know, different colors and schemes and alternates and blah blah blah. So he's got all sorts of different variations. But here's the shoot you're watching on NBC Sports Boston if you're watching on TV, and I got to tell you, it looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good. You know what? I didn't believe that I would feel that way either. But that. What color did you call it? Pewter?
I thought that's what
that
it used
pewter
to be.
One with the white number and the red outline. Like, that looks pretty good.
Looks pretty sharp. I thought it would look cheesy. Show me the one again with him that shot from behind. I think I'm going to see it next, where he shot from behind.
Red jersey.
And he's looking to the side. And yeah, there it is. That's a shot. And he looks kind of hot there. I got to tell you, Christian, I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's a good looking dude right there. That's a good shot. Strong chin, 43-year-old man, looks stud. He looks good in that. He looks good in this shoot right here. He doesn't look the way I thought he would look. I thought he would look cheesy, Maz. It looks pretty good.
I mean, I never ever envisioned Brady in a Tampa Bay uni, but the photos that they put out there do look pretty good. I felt the same way.
That one picture, and just like, keep rolling.
Even the metallic, like, you know, it's a little grainy of the finish on the helmet. It just, the whole thing looks pretty good. And that bronze jersey or pewter jersey, whatever color you would call that, Brady looks good in that.
You know, that picture,
he looks good in that.
That picture from behind with the Brady on back and him looking the other way, that's a good shot. There is one cheesy picture. The picture where he's pointing at his ears like he's calling an audible on the line.
Right.
You know, even though he's in some studio, that one right there.
I like that jersey the best, though, I think.
So good jersey. Yeah. It's just a cheesy shot. Like, dude, you're not, you know, calling for the slant there. Just smile at the camera. But how do you feel about that, Christian? Lifelong Patriot fan?
White one I like. The black one I think looks too much like a Houston
Texans
jersey.
I'm talking about the general.
Oh, about him being in the jersey
Brady
at all.
Brady as a Buccaneer.
At this point, I'm used to it. It feels like he went there a long, long time ago. I feel like he's been a Buccaneer for 5 years at this point.
That's a meh. I don't know if that's a meh. But he looks better in that thing than I thought. So anyway.
I wonder if he shot those in front of a green screen.
I don't know. He might.
Is that a massage parlor I see in the back?
Right. Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word here on Felger and Maz on the 16th of June, right? 16th of June?
Yeah, there's a sponsor there.
That's what today is? Yes, of course, the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tires. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
I knew that.
Nope. There it is.
What I didn't know is what today was, and neither did Mike, actually, to open the show.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, May 16th. On 98.5, the Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Presenting sponsor in both formats is DraftKings. I'm coming to you from our Town Fair Tire studios here in Dorchester. Christian Arcan in for Big Jim Murray alongside Maz on remote, already cackling about something. What, Maz? What?
I think you said May 16th.
What did I say? Yeah, what is it?
It's June.
June 16th.
I'm just chuckling.
No.
Honestly, it's the kind of mistake I would make.
Well, what's the diff?
I do this crap all the time.
It's a common mistake.
No, it happens all the time.
Off by a
totally.
Month.
Please.
Especially in these times.
You got the day, right?
Sure.
Yeah, what? I mean, really. It's all blending together, Arcan.
That's right.
Hard to keep any of it straight, for crying out loud. Again, I'm adopting Jimmy Stewart's motto. Every day, colon, worse than the day before.
And we're never getting out of it.
So if you're watching on the simulcast, it looks like Maz has a new friend there that he's playing with on his desk. What is that I spy, right, Maz, over your, I guess, left shoulder?
This right here?
Yeah, is that a real microphone?
It is. It's a mic that I am going to see if I can use that might work better than the headset. We'll see. I'm trying to figure that out.
No. I look forward to it. So I just want to have to hear you rattling the thing every time you have a take or listen to the potato chip bag on your thing. Like
you
every,
mean that?
Yes. That'd be nice. That'd be good. And
I hate this freaking headset. I can't begin to tell you how much I hate this headset. It makes my voice sound very high.
Because otherwise, normally it's James Earl Jones. Yes.
Exactly. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray.
We also have the call of the day today, which came from Mike in New Hampshire.
Mike in Nashua, New Hampshire. What's bugging you the most?
It's all bugging me, Mike. I've been home for 3 months with the family. My wife keeps wanting to talk to me. I need a game to watch. And, you know, I had hope that things were coming together, but no, the wheels are coming off everywhere. Baseball's a disaster. You got football players testing positive. The NBA players are rebelled. Are we going to go the whole year with no team sports? Do I got to become a NASCAR fan? Help
Soccer.
Me.
Yeah, but the Prem comes back tomorrow, Mike. I like the guy said, my wife keeps trying to talk to me.
I know what he means.
Like the worst of the wise he keeps again with you.
It's true. My 13-year-old, God bless him, he's a great kid. Both of them are. He comes in here all the time, and I'm like, what? What do you want now? What? Leave me alone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.